Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 to 23. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew records the instructions that Christ the King gives to his ambassadors. At the very outset, we need to recognize these truths. Number one, the work of salvation could be accomplished only by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he alone has done it. But the witness of the salvation can only be accomplished by his people, those who have trusted Christ and are saved. Christ the King needed ambassadors to carry the message, and he still needs these ambassadors. In the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we read of the call of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Now in our study of Matthew chapter 9, we learned how the harvest is plentiful, and so we are told to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The need constitutes earnest prayer. The need does not constitute the call. The need constitutes earnest prayer. Matthew chapter 9 verses 36 to 38. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." But it is not enough that we pray for laborers. We must also make ourselves available to serve him. Now, this does not mean that you make rash decisions and enter into what is called full-time ministry. Remember, the need is not the call. The need constitutes earnest prayer. And when you pray earnestly, you will receive God's call upon your life. The call is primarily to be a witness. This is the general call for all believers. By the way, unless you are a witness in the place where God has placed you, how do you expect God to call you into full-time ministry? In fact, the term full-time ministry is quite confusing. What God requires is full-time Christians. Are you being an ambassador of Christ in the place that God has placed you? Are your colleagues in your workplace or fellow students in your school or college seeing Christ in you? And are they hearing the message of the gospel through you? Are you making yourself available to Christ as his messenger where he has placed you? Are you his ambassador in the place that God has put you? When you are a faithful witness of Christ in the place that he has placed you, then the Lord will burden you further with his burdens as you earnestly pray regarding the need that you see around you. And he will also reveal to you his specific call for your life. Now, before Jesus sent his ambassadors out to minister, he preached an ordination sermon to encourage and prepare his ambassadors. And this sermon is recorded here in Matthew chapter 10. In this sermon, the king had something to say to all of his servants, his past, present, and future servants. And unless we recognize this fact, the message of this chapter will seem hopelessly confusing. So we need to understand these facts. We find first instructions for the apostles in Matthew chapter 10 verses 1 to 15. Then we find instructions for future disciples, Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 to 23. And then we find instructions for present disciples, Matthew chapter 10 verses 24 to 42. Now let's start with his instructions for the apostles in Matthew 10 verses 1 to 15. A disciple is a learner. He is an apprentice. He is one who follows a teacher and he learns the wisdom of his teacher. Jesus had many disciples, some of whom were merely hangers-on. They had just joined the bandwagon. But some were genuinely, truly converted followers. In John chapter 6 verse 66 we read, John 6 verse 66, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." So you see, there were many who were just there. They were there just out of curiosity as spectators. And when things got serious, they left. From this large group of followers, Jesus selected a smaller group of 12 men. And these he called apostles. Now this word apostle comes from the Greek word apostello. Apostello means to send forth with a commission. That's what it means, to send forth with a commission. Now it was used by the Greeks for the personal representatives of the king, the ambassadors who functioned with the authority of the king. Anyone who took the words of the king's ambassadors or apostello lightly, they were in danger of insubordination. Now, a person had to meet certain qualifications to be an apostle, apostello of Jesus Christ. Number one, he must have seen the risen Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 1. "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not you my workmanship in the Lord?" This is what the apostle Paul is saying. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord. So that's one of the criteria of being an apostle. Number two, the person should have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 verses 21 to 22. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. Now this was the criteria of choosing the apostle who replaced Judas. Number three, the person had to be chosen by the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. What did the apostles do? The apostles laid the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So, in the strictest sense of the term, according to this criteria which we just read, today there may not be anyone who can be called an apostle, but in the general sense of the term, yes, all believers are sent forth to represent the king. We are his ambassadors. And this is a tremendous responsibility, and we need to take it very seriously. Our Lord Jesus, when praying to the Father, he said in John chapter 17, in the high priestly prayer, Jesus prays to the Father. In John 17 verse 18, we read, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." John 20 and verse 21. John 20 verse 21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Now today we may not see the risen, exalted Christ with our physical eyes. In fact, if we see him with our physical eyes, we might get blinded like Saul of Tarsus. Remember what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9 verses 3 to 4. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Acts chapter 9 verse 5. And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Acts chapter 9 verses 7 to 8. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. But although we have not seen the risen, exalted Christ, we believe in him and we are called to be his ambassadors. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Never forget the fact that you are an ambassador of Christ. It is a very high calling. You are saved to be his ambassador. The Lord Jesus empowered the apostles to do miracles. Acts chapter 2 verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. The apostle Paul tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12, "The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, with signs and wonders and mighty works." So the sick were healed, the lepers were cleansed, demons were cast out, and even the dead were raised. So the apostles continued the work that the Lord Jesus himself was doing, which we saw in Matthew chapter 8 and chapter 9. In other words, they represented the king and extended his work. But the Lord Jesus sent them only to the people of Israel. Matthew chapter 10 verses 5 to 8. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. To the Jew first, that is the historic pattern of proclaiming the gospel. For salvation is of the Jews. Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman told her, Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4 verse 22, you worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Now these 12 ambassadors announce the coming of the kingdom. Matthew 10 verse 7, and proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now this is also the message of John the Baptizer, Matthew chapter 3 verse 2. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord Jesus himself proclaimed this message, Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Sad to say, the nation of Israel rejected both Christ and his ambassadors, and the kingdom was taken from them. Matthew chapter 21 verse 43. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. The apostles depended on the hospitality of others as they ministered from town to town. Matthew chapter 10 verses 11 to 15. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. In those days, for a town to refuse a guest was a breach of hospitality. However, the ambassadors were to remain only with those who were worthy. They were to remain only with those who trusted Christ and received his message of peace and forgiveness. The apostles were not to compromise. If a town rejected their words, they were to warn the people and then depart. To shake off the dust, that was an act of judgment. Paul and Barnabas, when they left Antioch in Pisidia, when they were persecuted, we read in Acts chapter 13 verses 50 and 51. Acts 13 verses 50 and 51. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. Now, we do not know how long this evangelistic campaign of the apostles recorded here in Matthew chapter 10, how long it lasted, we do not know. Jesus himself went out to preach. We read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 1. Matthew 11, verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Later, the apostles returned to Christ and reported what had happened. Luke chapter 9, verse 10. On their return, the apostles told him all that they had done, and he took them and withdrew apart to a town called Bethsaida. Mark tells us that Jesus had sent the men out in pairs. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So this explains why their names are listed in pairs. We read that in Matthew chapter 10 verses 2 to 4. Their names are listed in pairs because they were sent out in pairs. Two are better than one. The book of Revelation tells us that the names of the apostles will be on the foundations of the heavenly walls. Revelation chapter 21 verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The name of Judas will of course be replaced by Matthias. Acts chapter 1 verse 26. Acts 1 verse 26. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Today, the commission of Christ to us believers includes all the world, not just the nation of Israel. Matthew chapter 28 verses 19 to 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God bears witness to the message of the gospel even today by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed to his church according to his will. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Today, we preach the gospel of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20 verse 24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Our message is, Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Therefore, repent and believe in him. That is the gospel message. The king has already come. He has already suffered. He has died and risen from the dead. Now he offers his salvation to all who will believe. This then is the gospel in a nutshell. And I read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 to 5, which gives us the gospel in a nutshell. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 3 to 5. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then in Matthew chapter 10, we see the Lord Jesus giving instructions for future disciples. In Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 to 23. Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 to 23. Instructions for future disciples. The atmosphere of this section from verses 16 to 23 is different. It is different from that in the previous section. Matthew chapter 10 verses 16 to 17. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. So here, in this section, verses 16 to 23, the Lord speaks of persecution. But we have no record that the 12 apostles that were sent out suffered persecution during their tour. Jesus also spoke of a ministry to the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 10 verse 18. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Then the Holy Spirit had not been given, yet Jesus talked about the Spirit speaking through them. Matthew chapter 10 verses 19 to 20. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Matthew chapter 10 verse 22 seems to indicate a worldwide persecution. Yet the apostles were ministering only in their own land of Israel. Matthew chapter 10 verses 21 to 22. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Finally, in Matthew chapter 10 verse 23, we find verse 23 speaks about the return of the Lord, which certainly ascertains the fact that these events mentioned here in verses 16 to 23 of Matthew chapter 10 are all for the future. Matthew chapter 10 verse 23. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So it is difficult to escape the conclusion that these instructions apply to witnesses at some time in the future. At some future time. But what time in the future? To some degree, some of these events took place in the book of Acts. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ did not return at that time. And the ministry in the book of Acts was not limited to the cities of Israel, as mentioned here in this section in verses 16 to 23. Matthew chapter 10 verse 23. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So it seems that the period described here in this section in verses 16 to 23 closely parallels the time of tribulation that Jesus described in his Olivet Discourse. His Olivet Discourse is seen in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. And God willing, we will study those chapters in detail when we get there. In fact, the statement, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 10 verse 13. That statement is definitely a part of our Lord's prophetic discourse. In Matthew 24 verse 13, we see that statement again. Matthew 24 verse 13. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Again, we see that in Mark chapter 13 verse 13. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end will be saved. That statement does not refer to a person keeping himself saved, but rather it refers to enduring persecution and being faithful. If these instructions apply to that future time of tribulation, we can easily understand why Jesus said so much about hatred and persecution. The tribulation period will be a time of opposition. God's servants will be like sheep in the midst of wolves. They will need to be tough-minded and tender-hearted. This opposition will come from organized religion. Matthew chapter 10 verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And this persecution will come from governments. Matthew chapter 10 verse 18. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. This persecution will also come from one's own family. Matthew chapter 10 verse 21. Matthew 10 verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Now, while believers in scattered parts of the world are experiencing some of this persecution today, we also see this in many parts of our own country. The indication is that this opposition will be worldwide. Man-made religion has always persecuted true believers. Even the Apostle Paul persecuted the church when he was the unconverted Saul of Tarsus. He persecuted the church. Church history reveals that organized religion that has no gospel has opposed men and women who have dared to witness boldly for Christ. Matthew chapter 10 verse 18. Matthew 10 verse 18 states that the government will also share in this program of persecution. We read that verse in Matthew 10 verse 18. The prophetic scriptures teach that in the last days, government and religion will work together to control the world. And we see that happening in many countries, including our country. The whole of Revelation chapter 13 describes a time during the tribulation period when a world ruler, who is the Antichrist, he will force the world to worship him and his image. Please read Revelation chapter 13. The Antichrist will control world religion, economics, and government. And he will use world religion, economics, and government, all three, to persecute those who stand true to Christ. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7 to 8. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. There will also be a decay of family love and loyalty. Matthew chapter 10 verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. Without natural affection, that is one of the marks of the end times, without natural affection. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 3. I read from the King James Version. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 3. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 5, I read to you from the ESV. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. The Lord Jesus quoted Micah chapter 7 verse 6 to prove this point in Matthew chapter 10 verse 21. Jesus quotes Micah chapter 7 verse 6 to prove this point in Matthew chapter 10 verse 21. Micah 7 verse 6. For the son treats the father with contempt. The daughter rises up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Matthew chapter 10 verse 21. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise against parents and have them put to death. The three institutions which God established in this world are the home, human government, and the church. In the last days, all three of these institutions will oppose the truth instead of promoting it. And we are already seeing this happening. But the tribulation period will also be a time of opportunity. The believers will be able to witness to governors and kings, Matthew 10, 18, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Their enemies will try to trip them and trap them in their speech, but the Spirit of God will teach the witnesses what to say. Matthew chapter 10 verses 19 to 20. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now believers today must not use these verses 19 and 20 in Matthew chapter 10. They must not use these verses as an excuse not to study the Word of God in preparing for witnessing, teaching or preaching. These verses describe an emergency situation. They are not God's regular pattern for ministry today. This is when believers face their enemies. Even during the days of the apostles, the Holy Spirit gave them their messages when they faced their enemies. Acts chapter 4 verses 7 to 10. Acts chapter 4 verses 7 to 10. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, If we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit will be abundantly evident during the tribulation period when the witnesses are persecuted. The tribulation will be a time of opposition and opportunity, but it will also be a time of obligation. The ambassadors of the king must endure to the end and faithfully perform their ministry, even if it costs them their lives. In spite of scourging, rejection by their families, persecution from city to city, and trials before leaders, the servants must remain true to their Lord. And their witness will be used by God to win others. In the book of Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 8, Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 8 indicates that 1,44,000 Jewish witnesses will carry God's word throughout the world during the tribulation. Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 8. After this I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 1,44,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon. 12,000 from the tribe of Levi. 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar. And 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun. 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. As the result of the witness of the 1,44,000, a great multitude will come to Christ. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. After this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Now, how does all of this apply to us today? No doubt these words in Matthew chapter 10 will become very precious and meaningful to the witnesses during the time of tribulation. But we today, we can learn from these words even though their primary interpretation and application are for God's servants at a future time. No matter how difficult our circumstances may be, we can turn opposition into opportunities for witness. And that is one lesson we must learn. Instead of getting depressed when we see opposition, we can turn opposition into opportunities for witness. We can trust the Holy Spirit of God to help us remember what the Lord has taught us. John chapter 14 verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Number three, instead of running away and looking for an easier place, you know, that's what happens often when we see all the persecution and things that are happening all around us in our own nation, we feel like running away. No, instead of running away and looking for an easier place, we can endure to the end, knowing that God will help us and he will see us through. If you are a saved sinner, you are called to be his ambassador. Let us take that great commission of Christ seriously and let us be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to him, loyal to him, faithful to him till the end. Let us bow our heads in prayer.